It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business, airing throughout the metropolitan area, New York, New Jersey, on the powerful voice of New York, 710 WOR, and, of course, we're worldwide on the iHeart Radio Network. Once again, we came in number three. It's really, let's hear the sound. Come on. Number three? There you go. Number three, according to the Nielsen ratings in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Nielsen, that's a big deal. Why is that? Because week in and week out, we have incredible guests, and the listeners have come to expect incredible business content. And of course, we cover such a wide range of industries and professions. We talk about sales, the customer experience, leadership, real estate, strategic planning. Tonight's guest could probably speak about each one of them. And if time permitting, we're going to try to get to everything. But since it's radio, just a drop more. I'm sorry, keeping in suspense, just a drop more. Every single guest that we've had on this incredible show is on the platform, mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and many of them were videoed, like tonight's is being videoed. It goes up on our popular YouTube channel. On YouTube, we're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business, 710 WOR Mind Your Business, and when you subscribe and click on notifications, you are automatically notified every single time a show goes live. We've interviewed the CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, the CEO of Apple, the CEO of Pepsi. I mean, the list goes on. We've had incredible guests, and again, they're all available by accessing them on mybradio.com or on Spotify, any of the popular podcasting channels. We're there. Before I get to my guests, special shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG in particular, Srili, Michal, Betzalel, Brocha, Michael, Miriam, Malki, Nachi. We have a great team here. Also, a special shout-out to the great people at 710 WOR, in particular Darren and Peter. Special thank you to Zeb Brenner for giving the shout-out. And a special thank, we're syndicated on many channels, the Lakewood Scoop, Nucky Radio, Jewish Home, and, of course, our popular business class channel, which reaches nearly 50,000 people every single day. Without further ado, getting to tonight's incredible guest, Alan Azule, president of Ascorp Properties. Ascorp Properties is a privately held real estate investment and advisory firm. The firm invests and develops multifamily properties. They provide strategic advice to clients on real estate transactions. Ascorp Properties specializes in acquiring value-add assets. In addition, he's one Halakha guy. I guess that's the way I would put it. Rav Yehuda Chacham Yehuda, he's going to get upset at me here, is direct descendant of the Chidah. This is like very special, very, very special. He is the founder of the Sephardic Legacy series. He has authored already 7 books. He's a young guy, has a big career ahead. We don't know how many dozens ultimately, Bez Hashem, will be written, but Alan was listed among the top 24 Jews who are changing the world, and was deemed a national young Jewish leader by the Diplomatic Seminar for Young Jewish Leaders. On tonight's show, we will be covering many different subjects. But in particular, we're going to be talking about running a company remotely. That's a big challenge. All right, we'll be talking about that. Strategic methods that can be a financial game changer for your business. And also the importance of give and take. Sometimes, let's say a boss is being challenged. How should he take that? And how should you respond? The give and take. With that intro, Alan Azule, thank you for joining me here on 710 WOR.
Thank you for having me on the show.
What a special treat. We have so much to cover, so let's spend just a minute or two on your background, your upbringing, to where you are today.
Sure. So thank you again for having me on the show.
Please.
So my background's Jewish Moroccan background, born and raised in Toronto, Canada. And grew up from a family of four siblings, including myself. And I would say that my real particular notion of reading comprehension skills that was a quite big disability for myself growing up was a big challenge. I took my weakness to my strength and later on progressed it over time. There was one thing that particularly stood out to me throughout Yeshiva, when I attended Yeshiva University. Mm-hmm. When I walked into the doors, one of the first things it said is, "Who inspired you? Pass it on." So from that point, it literally changed so much of my life, my career life, my personal life, and so on, which I can elaborate later on.
Let's hold on to that for a second. That's a very special quote there. Who inspired you? Pass it on. So seeing that triggered something in you.
Absolutely.
To say, okay, that's a good point. Who inspired me, and how am I now going to turn that around to re-inspire many more people?
That's right.
Because of the inspiration I received from someone else.
Correct. And when I was doing that, I was actually in the midst of my master's program, and I was also writing a book on the life and times of Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. And I felt that if I don't contribute to writing or contribute by inspiring other people, just as a teacher inspired me, I want to inspire others. So it's just a domino effect. And if we don't have the notion of continuing passing on and inspiring people, then what are we here for in this world? We can't just be selfish and just inspire ourselves and just be stagnant. We have to inspire others. Just as I was inspired, I should inspire others as well.
Something else that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago is that if a person notices a certain weakness, turn that around. Don't obsess with it and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to hang up my cleats because I don't know how to deal with it. No. Identify a weakness and turn it around into a strength. Can you also elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So when I was younger, my parents recognized my weakness, including myself, and it was for reading comprehension. And I would say I had every ethnic tutor background. I had probably 100 tutors at least. And from it, I said, okay, it's either I hit rock bottom and remain in the dark and not go anywhere, or I just go and do it and just motivate myself. And what I ended up doing was taking my weakness, where I would have a paragraph, read it once or twice or five times, and I just couldn't comprehend, I couldn't understand. Mm. And then fast forward years later, I ended up being an author. So I took my true weakness and made it my strength, from not reading to eventually becoming an author, a columnist, and so on and so forth. So, and that's, of course, it was a process to get to that point. But and my parents were a big asset to it. My tutors were a big asset. But it was mainly my will to just move forward and just constantly get to that final result of understanding that one basic paragraph.
Now, Yehuda, I think it's fair to say, Alan, you are a serial entrepreneur. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's fair, right? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Now, and a successful business owner, how can you apply the concept of identifying a weakness and tackling it head on? I know we just addressed it, but now specifically from the business aspect. And the reason why I bring that up is because I know from having the honor of having interviewed hundreds of CEOs, you know, Hashem made us all with strengths and weaknesses.
Absolutely.
So how does someone in that spot, in an executive role, identify it and still make sure to fill in those gaps, recognize it, even almost admitting that he's not great at everything, and then being able to still, you know, run a company and make sure that everything is running like a well-oiled machine, even though he has some weaknesses?
That's right. So great question. So I think that everyone throughout the course of life really goes through their ups and downs and recognizes their weaknesses and their strengths. But when they recognize their strengths, that's easy. But it's focusing on the weakness and not taking that weakness and making it a strength, or just making it much better than its weakness. That's where the successful person comes out, where they focus and they identify the problem and they recognize it, whether they write it down, whether they make it something that they want to focus on every single day. Those are going to be the successful people. Most people will recognize their weaknesses, but most, if not probably all, not all, but the majority will not focus on that weakness and won't work on that weakness. And that's the problem. So it's identifying the problem. It's ultimately working on that weakness. And then ultimately that will be successful. So that's the problem. It's identifying it, and as well as just taking and working on that weakness the moment they acknowledge it.
Alan, we've been friends for a couple of years. One of the hallmarks that I've noticed in you is your focus. You're zoned in. When you're zoned in, No, it doesn't make a difference. It's a storm, it's a hurricane, it's a tornado, chas v'shalom. You're zoned in. You had mentioned something that's part of that in the answer before, and that is the importance of writing it down. Can we hold on to that for a second? If someone has a new idea, or if someone realizes a strength, a weakness, he said, write it down. Why is that so important to like commit it in writing so that you kind of hold yourself accountable later on? You look at your notes and like, I got to work on that. As opposed to letting it just, you know, just flies off.
Great question. So I think it's visualization. So what I have is, I'm obsessive of that, of focusing, but having that visualization. So I have it on my iPhone notes. I put the same wording, I copy paste it, and I put it on my computer. So it's on a Word document. Then I print it out, and I put the printed version in front of my face. So I got a printed version. I have a phone version, and every single day I constantly refresh that page. So just a one pager on Microsoft Word and on my phone, and as well as on my computer and the printed version. So those three things I'm constantly seeing all day long. I got to get that work done. So I, for example, when I was coming here, I put my phone on airplane mode when I was doing some work in the car. And it's just, you have to zone in, no notifications, no social media, not completely no social media, but, you know, and a lot less Netflix watching and so on. So it's really moving away from the distraction, because we're living in a distracted world. And it's constantly having that, I guess visual reminder that it's there. You can't run away from it. And if it's just, okay, it's on your mind, you write it down once, it's not enough. It's not enough to just have a sticky. Everywhere you go, you have to have that reminder. And then you eventually get it done, dependent on your will.
Alan, how could people find out more about AskCorp?
They could go on the website for sure, AskCorpProperties.com. They could reach out to me by email, text, WhatsApp, however they like. And very accessible.
But AskCorpProperties.com.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Alan Azulay here on 710 WOR.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful, but the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify, what is it I do best?
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Trainer.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind your business here on 710 WOR and the powerful iHeartRadio Network. My guest is none other than Alan Azulay. He is the founder and president of AskCorp. He is a consultant to many different types of businesses out there. You can find out more information by going to ascorproperties.com. Tonight's show brought to you in part by ascorproperties.com. In case you missed the first segment of the show, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up on all the popular podcasting channels. The video episode on YouTube will go up probably in around 3 weeks or so. If you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, then you are automatically notified when it goes live. On YouTube, we're at 710WOR Mind Your Business. Click on subscribe, click on turn on notifications, and you'll automatically be notified when the interview with Alan Azoulay goes live. Alan, in the first part of tonight's program, we did talk about identifying weaknesses, identifying strengths, how to then run with it. Here's an important question on that really is at the core of every business. Every business exists. Why? Because it solves a problem in the marketplace. So my question to you is, what is the path to finding solutions? Because when someone finds a solution, that's an opportunity. Perhaps you could discuss, but how does someone go about the method, the process, the mindset to find solutions?
So great. First of all, solutions, I always believe, are always, they end up working out. Whether it's negative or positive, there's always a solution. Life moves forward, and that mindset of mine has been shifting a lot lately to thinking that when I'm, for example, in a negative situation, a negative scenario, and there's really no solution, then I think of that it's going to work out one way or another, whether it goes sideways or not, and hopefully not. So that's one. And I would say the second thing is having the proper mindset of being just positive and not thinking of that negative point where it's just going to, oh my gosh, it's over, it's done, and the deal's going to go sour, or the stock's going to crash, or whatever it may be. You always have to think positive. Having that positive mindset will always literally adjust your mind, your lifestyle, your work ethic, and everything. So that's first and foremost. I just want to give a quote from, believe it or not, Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
And he says something interesting. He said here the following: wasn't whether or not I was ready. It was the fact that if I wasn't ready, I was determined to figure out how to get ready. So just very interesting. So in other words, he has to figure out a solution to the problem. Even if there was no solution, he'll figure out a solution to get to there. So if we have to focus on the solution, not the problem, not be the problem, not be a part of it in every aspect of it. So we have to think constantly of the positive solutions of what it will come down to, and take a walk, go outside, have a coffee, change your mindset, have that breath of fresh air, then come back to that problem that you're dealing with and figure it out. Speak to people, bounce some ideas off of people. And that's what I do personally. And then you hopefully have that solution in place.
And Alan, you brought up something that's like so important. At the end of the day, we're all humans or humanoids. Yeah. Right? If a person is in a rut, yeah, having a difficult challenge, you just mentioned an idea about getting outside, getting a walk around the block. Even something like that, many people don't realize, can have an effect on your mindset. Seeing the sunlight, hearing a little traffic, just like, and you come back in, you're some people might say, you're a different person.
Totally. When I take a break, I just get a coffee. I have like 3-4 coffees a day, and that's my break, my coffee break. So it just changes my mind. I relax. I tune myself out from the problems or whatever it is, and I come back to it. And I could have that. You know, one of my colleagues always says, just take a break, get back to it a few hours later. You don't have to answer the problem, answer the question, answer the text, answer the email immediately. Take a few minutes. Take a few minutes of your time. Take a few hours. Get back to it. And that's what it is. It gives that few hours or that window that has a different, fresh perspective to answer or to deal with that dilemma or situation at hand.
You, first of all, in your writings, and I have had the zechut of reading quite a few of your works, and they're always incredible. It's actually, once you pick them up, they're hard to put down. And if you just go to Google and you type in Alan Azoulay or Yehuda Azoulay, you'll see his works that pop up. And thank you for all those incredible works. You are fascinated, and you talk about people that have changed the world.
Yep.
leaders, leadership, and you have it comes through in your writing, and of course in no small measure to the incredible ancestors that you have, in particular the Chidah, which is just again same last name, your direct ben incredible. Why is it so important for a leader to have a mindset of changing the world?
So I'll give a religious answer, okay. Then I'll give a secular answer, okay. Towards it. You look at the personality of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, for example, who I could relate to. My son's name's after him. And
you wrote that incredible biography.
Correct. I wrote the biography on him.
How many pages was that?
600, approximately. And he could have been like any other rabbi, a scholar sitting in a study hall and just studying and not impacting the world. No, he changed and he implemented things even in the IDF to implementing anything within the state of Israel. He restructured, the list goes on in terms of what he did. He endorsed the fact that 80,000 Ethiopians were actually the status of being a Jew. And the impact that he had single-handedly, same thing as the Lubavitch Rebbe, his impact as well. So in comparison to the secular world and the contemporary world that we live in is Elon Musk. So I read a book by Ashley Vance on his biography, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that he specifically, Elon Musk, became a billionaire through changing the world, if you think of it, through Tesla having no gas, solar panels. Specifically, he mentions that he would put 10,000 square miles in the U.S. desert, and it would be sustainable to have enough solar and energy to take out all the energy for the United States and replace it. So he has a brilliant mind, certainly a character, a unique one, in every aspect, but at the end of the day, he made billions through changing the world, where most people became billionaires or millionaires through just regular entrepreneurial ways and so on. So to me, that is not just being a leader, but being successful, but as well as changing the world. So to me, as much as a character and interesting personality of Elon Musk, to me, by reading all of his biographies, actually, he's changing the world and making it, to me personally, a better place, both from energy and from solar panels and to cars and so on and so forth, through rockets, whatever it may be. And that's very interesting. If most people took that method in whatever fashion, we would for sure be in a better world. And that's what he wanted, was he wants it better for a better generation to live in a healthier place physically and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Let's talk about ASCorp.
Sure.
Well, you're day in and day out. That's right. How we put bread on the table, so to speak. You started ASCorp a number of years ago. Tell us what led to its establishment and a little bit about your day-to-day work.
Sure. So initially, I started as a banker when I was probably 18 to 20 years old, for a few consecutive summers. Then I got into business loans, worked with my father in the printing industry. I got into, which I'm still remaining in it, within private mortgages in Toronto. I still have a company there. And I felt that it was great throughout my years of experience making commissions. Like anything in life, we all make commissions or we get salary, whatever it may be. And let's say if I would raise $100,000 in any fashion, whether I brokered a deal for debt or whatever it may be, I would just get a certain commission. Let's say $1,000 or 1% on the, which is great. I felt that I could never truly scale if I'm not going to just stick with that same concept of, okay, I'm going to get a commission on a particular amount that I'm going to raise. I said, no, I want equity. I want ownership of either the business or the actual real estate transaction or whatever it may be. So that's what I completely twisted and turned my model. I had a few families and I put them together. I would say three families in particular. And I put them in a room where basically they all approached me at all different times and they backed me. They backed me financially. And I don't really have too many investors in ASCorp in particular. Rather, they just back me and they're continuously backing me in terms of buying and acquiring multifamily, where majority of ASCorp properties will get the equity and as well as share it with the several investors. So I went from changing from investors to investments. And it's not just making a great yield. It's ultimately just having an equity ownership. There's nothing like owning a piece of property. So
Buying property, using money from other people, OPM, right?
Correct.
Other people's money. As an investor, and as investors get some of the investment, you know, it's a fascinating concept. Can you please still hold on to that? Because there are different, working with OPM, other people's money, so then that comes at a cost. Of course. Shouldn't you? What's your take on that?
So, I mean, OPM, other people's money, hey, why not use it? I felt that certain markets, the concept of OPM, of using other people's money based on due diligence, wouldn't work. The yields, the cap rates, the cash on cash, basically the returns wouldn't match. It wouldn't go. For example, buying in the city of Toronto or New York, Boston, large cities, for a purchase price of a $10 million building, which is 20 units, you could buy a 300-unit building in Connecticut for $10 million. So you just get more bang for your buck of depending on which state. We're here in the States, you have way more opportunities than I believe in most countries in the world, as they call it, the American dream, which I truly believe in it, is that you could go to certain states, or if not at least half of the United States, you could go in, and where such as Connecticut, Arkansas, Kentucky, that these are undervalued, I would say, properties, especially pre-pandemic, that they're markets that are completely rental markets. They're markets where it's underappreciated and undervalued, not in a bad way, it's just it hasn't had its appreciation or its recognition, and a lot of money is being poured into it by the billions from all different companies and people throughout the United States and even foreign funds. So those are the areas in particular. I follow the big guys where they would go in and put several billions of dollars into Connecticut or Ohio. I follow that trend as a small guy. So I'm just following them. And if they're going to go to Florida, I would go to Florida. I think Florida is oversaturated. They say that from 2021, this past year, to 2030, population of an increase of 8 million people, new residents are going to be moving in to the state of Florida. So that's amazing. So that to me, that for development, that's great if you're a developer. I'm not a developer. But from a cash on cash or buying multifamily, it's already getting too expensive there. So that's the different angle. So you have to certainly study it, analyze it, and go from there.
Alan, before we go to a commercial break, sure. What is the website of your company where people can find out more information?
It's azcorpproperties.com, A-Z-C-O-R-P, properties.com.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saflis right here on 710 WOR and throughout the world on the powerful iHeart Radio Network. Also, a special hello to all those thousands that are tens of thousands going to be watching us on YouTube. Well, on YouTube, we're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Click on subscribe. You'll automatically be notified when the episodes go live onto YouTube. And, of course, hello to those that tune in on Spotify and all the other channels. Of course, the iHeart Radio Network itself. Alan, my guest, of course, hello. Alan Azule, Azcorp Properties. But aside from that, he authored 7 books and is an individual who is extremely focused and has great advice. That's why we wanted to get him on the show. He has great common sense strategic advice. And in fact, that's why I'm going to jump to really another key question. And that is, Alan, you have properties throughout the United States. what's the strategy for running a company that has properties, and that means you either have employees or freelancers or consultants in different places. How do you manage that all without being in the same four walls, so to speak?
Okay, so great question. It's really creating systems, efficiencies, and like-minded people. That's the real truth. So you have to start from, I guess, really the top. So if I'm a sloppy businessman in terms of managing from, I know many people that have way more properties than me in terms of throughout many different states, but their management skills are horrible. They know how to acquire well, they know how to underwrite well, whatever it may be. So it's really having the same like-minded people, systems, efficiencies, such as having Google Drive where everybody could go on live, Google Docs, Dropbox, DocuSign, where you could run everything remotely. But as well as you have to create your team, which is very hard. You could hire, I have all my properties are third property management. Mm-hmm. And eventually the idea is to become our own property management. So I don't have too many states that were acquired. We have Ohio, Connecticut, and now we're moving to Michigan. And the idea is not the other 47 states yet, one day, maybe, God willing. It's not the goal right now, is to conquer and to build a portfolio in each state and particular cities, and to analyze each city, each town, wherever we are at. And then we create relationships with realtors, with property management companies, with contractors, with whatever it may be. We create WhatsApp groups per state, and then we have either a realtor or whoever it may be that's affiliated to it. So and that's where you ultimately want to build that team. It's hard. For example, I'm in the midst of hiring, I would say, 1 to 2 people. It's very, very difficult to find that like-minded person. I'd rather take my time, interview 30, 40 people until you find the right one, instead of finding the wrong one and constantly rehiring and hiring and so on. So that's what it is. It's creating systems, efficiencies, and the like-minded people like yourself, which is a challenge, but try to get there.
Great advice. Quick, interesting question. Wait, before you buy a property, do you or someone on your team actually go there, walk the floor, knock on the door? You actually go and physically see the property?
Absolutely. So I had a scenario, I would say, in February where we acquired a 11 or 12 unit property, and neither myself or anyone on my team, except for the realtor, just walked the property outside, not inside. I went ahead, we acquired it, all the numbers made sense, all the due diligence, everything checked off, as they say. And it turned out to be the worst property that I acquired. Mm. Out of the 12 units or so, half the building we had to evict immediately, which we're probably down to like 2 or 3 evictions left. And this is just from a few months ago. So ever since then, and prior to that, I checked all my properties, but it was just really a good salesman who tried to sell it to me, and it worked. But at the end of the day, it was a small property, and I learned from that to walk every single unit. For example, we're about to acquire in Lakewood, Ohio, 48 unit. We're about to go under contract, and at the end of the day, I told the realtor, I'm walking to every single unit. I don't go in telling them that I'm the owner or partner or even a part of the team. I tell them that I'm actually the inspector. And that's the thing, to be safe, to deal with tenants or who knows what happens out there. Right. And that's my strategy.
Wow.
So I absolutely walk through every single property every single time. And I go approximately every quarter to every single property to check it out with the property management team.
I mean, even after you acquire the property, absolutely, you still walk it.
Absolutely.
Now, this brings us to, as you continue to scale, delegating. Delegating is a, and you touched on it, it's impossible to scale without delegating, yet at the same time, that means to a certain degree, you're losing some element of control.
Correct.
And your own top quality standards that you are hardwired in order proceed on with anything that you're doing. So the question is, you know, can you share your tips on delegating efficiently in order to make sure that the people that you're hiring are going to deliver what you have in mind and to your standards?
Sure. So I believe in making tasks, giving timelines, deadlines, making them accountable, and constantly focusing, refocusing on it, having weekly, biweekly meetings and whatever task it is. Also take the fact of the focus off of yourself as the doer, as the main person. Start putting that I guess, accountability and responsibility onto others immediately. And if you notice their leadership skills can't perform and can't send those emails or whatever it may be, then they're obviously not qualified to delegate themselves or to take the job or to whatever it may be. So it's really just changing your mindset by just giving things over and not just, oh, sending a forward by a WhatsApp or by an email, whatever it may be. But it's more than that. It's giving them the leadership skills. It's giving them the accountability. It's giving them the tasks, the timelines, the deadlines, and so on. And always set goals. Always set goals of the team. So I have a goal by, I would say by January 1st, 2023, that all the properties have to be 100% occupied. Right now we're at like 85 to 90. So that's a goal. And every week I'm making my team accountable every week, not day, which is too much, not month, which is too little, every day to be accountable to every single time to making sure that the tenants are being occupied, what's going on, the tenant turnover by changing and renovating each unit. So that's what it is. It's just constantly being on top of things, not obsessive. You got to give their space to your team and so on, but there's a check and balance there.
Let's hold on to goals. You touched on that, and it's such a big subject, such an important subject, and you kind of said it just like in the middle of a sentence, but like, let's even spend a minute or two. How important is it, and what are some of the key tips for setting goals that are, I guess, realistic and that will really happen? What are some tips on goal setting?
So I would say, be realistic. That's like you mentioned, be really realistic. I have another book that I'm coming out with. And I'm
you heard it here first.
And it's on the history of Moroccan Jewry. Wow. And I'm co-authoring, I'm not the main author. And it's being worked on. I'm overlooking the project, but I cannot say I'm coming out with it in 3 months or 6 months. I know that it's going to take a year. So you have to be truly change and also create timelines. Create constant timelines, and again, put a visual, put it in front of your face, emails, phones, whatever it may be, and then you create your realistic goals, and then you constantly change those realistic goals. Speaking of which, of books or projects, I always print, literally, old school style. I may be young, but I still have that, I guess, old touch. I need to feel that book instead of being on that iPad, is I print out that picture of the book. Or the picture of a mock book or of an actual building. I truly believe in the law of attraction. And if you see it, it will come. Maybe not always, but it will. I have in my office, I have all my current buildings that we purchased, and as well as some future buildings, as well as some future publications. Mm-hmm. So I have around 8 books in front of my desk that don't even exist, and they're all mock covers. But at the end of the day, if it's there, that's a goal. It's in front of me. I can't get rid of it. So that's, and it's, but you got to be realistic. I'm not going to come up with 8 books in a year. So it's over the span of 5-10 years, whatever it may be. So that's, it's setting realistic goals and motivating, and it's self-motivating when it's in front of your face.
The visualization aspect.
Yeah, you can't just write it down. You got to make it, you know, real.
Incredible. My guest this evening, Alan Azoulay, president of Azcor Properties. What's the website where people can find out more information and get in touch with you?
Sure, azcorproperties.com.
That simple.
Yeah, azcorpproperties.com.
We still have more to get to with Alan. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
This is Richard Solomon. If you're having a corporate event or a seminar or workshop and you're looking for a public speaker that's just a little bit different, why don't you give me a try? 516-371-4924. I'm a radio host. I'm a lawyer. I'm an author. I've been a lecturer. I've got a lot of really great war stories. And if you want to learn more, go to thesolomonchannel.com and you'll see all the great videos and everything that we've done over the years. We've done a lot of great stuff, including cash flow dynamics, things about small business, dealing with regulation, and surviving the challenges in this very tough and competitive business environment. 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with Isaac Saftless right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. In case you tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up on all the popular podcasting channels. Of course, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of them. Of course, the iHeartRadio Network. And the YouTube episode will be up in short order. You'll be notified automatically if you subscribe to our YouTube channel. On YouTube, we're at 710 WOR. Mind your business. My guest this evening, Alan Azule, president of Ascor Properties. Alan shared so many great aspects about that really is such great takeaways for any level in the on the totem pole in a business world. If you're a business of one, if you're a senior executive in a company overseeing 1,000 employees, 10,000 employees, or a small firm, so many great takeaways on goal setting, writing things down. You know what? Listen to the entire show. You'll pick up all the great advice that Alan shared. And we have roughly 10, 11 minutes left, so we still have a lot to get to. Alan, you talked about, because you have properties in different spots throughout the United States, and you shared how important it is that your team, you have like-minded professionals on your team. And also, you know, there has to be, I guess, a certain mold, a model. Perhaps you could share from the investment side. What does the process look like for an investor to Ascorp?
Sure. So the investors in particular, once they approve a certain package, a certain OM offering memorandum, they get the appraisal. Here's a particular deal that they invest in. It's not a fund. They know where they're investing. They acknowledge it. I'm fully transparent. Would I do something? I've yet to meet anyone who has done it. Let's say a person would invest this group, which they give large amounts, let's say $1 million in one shot. They would invest. I either BCC them or CC them into every single email from the beginning of the transaction to the end. I don't know anyone who really does that per se. I thought about it because being fully transparent would be just, it's just great. And I show them the appraisals, the inspections, the environmentals, and I guess emailing to the lawyers and whatever it may be, insurance companies, to the very end of funding, to the point that the investors say, okay, take me off your list.
I'm going to put you in spam soon.
Yeah, so they like that because they see the full transparency. So that's part of the process.
So let's talk about, I mean, you have advice to share in every category. The importance of communication. How important is it to communicate, perhaps even over-communicate, in every type of scenario that someone is involved with?
So I would say I particularly like to be an over-communicator. I think it's important to the point that I just keep on ranting, and it's sometimes good and sometimes bad. But realistically, it's applicable to anything in life. It's not just business. It's with marriage. It's with friendship. It's with anything. And communicating with them is extremely, extremely important. Or anyone, any of your colleagues is extremely important. So I had a scenario during COVID where it was a bad scenario, whatever it was, where I told them, guys, hold on tight. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And you're going to be okay. Trust me, you're going to be okay. And it's all in God's hands at the end of the day. But hold on tight, just wait a few months, and I'm going to return all your funds back. After the due diligence and after everything, and left everything in God's hands for the rest of the course of the thing, I would say I returned back $5.8 million to all investors, where after, I would say, that time, they came back to me. They felt it was, I guess, a safe investment, let's call it. Almost quadrupled the amount of funds. And I would say that really was a game changer. And I was fully transparent with them. I told them it's going to be bad. And I had a scenario recently that I consulted a certain company. And one partner said, no, we shouldn't tell, we shouldn't be transparent with everything of the problems of this property, specifically in Ohio, a very large property. Or we shouldn't, we should or we shouldn't be. So one person said one thing, one person said the other. I said, no, we're going to communicate it. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell them. We're going to tell them the good, the bad, the ugly. And we're going to get through this. And that's what we're hopefully trying to do, is trying to deal with the problem and rather than hide the problem. Do we have to tell them every little nuance and every detail? I don't think that's necessary. But at least communicate with them. And it's very important. Communication. I hate when people do not respond back to emails or WhatsApps or texts. Okay, a few hours, maybe at least the most a day goes by. But we live in such a communicative world today, constant communication, so accessible. There's no reason why, unless you're in a meeting, a conference, or whatever. And yeah, it's absolutely very, especially very important, especially to investors, which is your bread and butter at the end of the day.
You talked about the importance of always being responsive. What's your advice? This is a I don't want to say a loaded question, but an important question. Sure. Let's say you get someone pings you with an email. And it's a bit of a it's a delicate issue. There it requires more than a 1 minute email response, meaning that it would take a minute to write. You'd have to really think it through, and you may even have to work on the response. It could take 15, 20 minutes to write a good email to address that question. What is your? But at the same time, some people, they're like, oh, it's going to take time to respond. I'm just going to ignore it. So I guess my question is, how bad is it to ignore it? And what is your recommendation to at least touch base with the people, even though it will need more time to address it appropriately?
So the repercussions of not answering right away is a lot worse. And I know a particular person who does that, who just ignores it. He just doesn't answer the WhatsApp, does not answer the email, just ignores it. And it's such an important question and need that answer immediately. So I think it's a lot worse, and it's way better even if you answer partially. And immediately, it's a lot better than not answering at all. So I myself, if I'm in that scenario, years ago, I just, you know, just immediately would have responded. I was a lot younger, less mature, and would have answered right away. Today, I just take my time, not too long of my time, where I would just take a few hours, deep breath, a walk, a coffee, whatever it may be. Maybe just answer some other emails, do some other work, change your mindset, and do some other tasks, and then get back to it, and then answer appropriately.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I know that here I coach my team that in case there's ever anything like that, let's say it's a delicate issue, say always respond right away. Say, hi, dear sir. Hi, I hear you. Let me get back to you later today. You
know, exactly.
But at least there was a response and an acknowledgement, even though it's not the complete answer, but it acknowledged.
Exactly. Exactly.
Alan, what are your strategies for building a strong team? This is like a straight up question, but it's so key. It's so critical, especially in today's day and age where it's not that easy to find talent. And again, I'm blessed here, thank God, with at Bottom Line, with incredible talent. I'm turning to you. What's your strategy?
So me, I take my time to hire or bring on the right people. It's more of a long-term goal where the person, I have one particular person who works for me, and she says to me, I don't ever want to work for anyone else. I'd rather get paid less and be happier than get paid more and be unhappy. So that mindset's obviously something that hopefully I'm doing right. We don't like to create labels, CFO, CEO, whatever maybe we have to have at the end of the day. Also, it's very important to constantly encourage the right people at the right time and encourage your teammates, because if you don't, I have a colleague that constantly used to praise me for everything I've done, my books, my this, my that, whatever it may be, and you just get comfortable, then you either forget or whatever it may be, which is okay, it's natural, it happens, but you have to constantly be there pushing them and, oh my gosh, great email, great job with your work, and great response, great spreadsheet, whatever it may be. And be genuine about it, of course. And it's creating that natural positive environment. And it doesn't have to be even an office environment, which is always better in an office environment, but it's just a simple thank you, a simple acknowledgement and recognition constantly. In that mind, they feel the team, a part of your team feels that you're in a safe space, and they really acknowledge and they really appreciate you. So then the response to them is, okay, I'm going to really work well. I'm going to be, you know, and the opposite, I see other companies completely sloppy, where they just, the main head is just completely bad communicating, wouldn't respond to that email, wouldn't respond to that WhatsApp, and same thing there, and wouldn't acknowledge, or you don't always have to praise the person 24/7, but I did a particular job for consulting for a particular company and got paid, did what I had to do, and the lack of acknowledgement, I don't even think the person said thank you.
Mm.
And it was a large project, whatever it may be. So something so simple, for just a simple few words, could go a long way.
So, Alan, not much time left, but I still have a couple of important questions. We're good?
We're great.
Thank you. You mentioned a few moments ago about one of the important points of building your team is actually building them through words. Complimenting them, saying a good word. It's not just a salary. It's a matter of building them up. At the beginning of tonight's program, you also talked about having a positive attitude, especially if things are rough. Person's having a rough day, go out for a walk, but then apply some optimism and things work out. And I see that's kind of a trend, a common theme with you, whether it's your team, whether it's your investors. I guess my question is, how important is it and what are the benefits of just surrounding yourself with positivity and having a positive mindset?
Honestly, everything. It changes your life, changes with your kids. It's your upbringing that really, I guess, defines who you are. But of course, there are exceptions to the rule. And I grew up in a very positive setting. Therefore, by nature, I'm going to be positive in my day-to-day. If I'm going to be positive in my day-to-day, then I'm going to be positive in my workspace. And then my, you know, and so on. If I'm going to go and say hi to someone at a store and being thankful for whatever it may be, I'm going to be, oh, thank you for opening the door or whatever, and so on. So it's all interconnected, ultimately, everything. It's interconnected through positivity. You could challenge that to channel that to anything.
You know, another question before I get to my last question is, when you talked about transparency with your investors, you probably see this directly, that there is a credibility factor. You know, even if you're in touch with your investors regularly and you're sending them a lot of messages, emails, WhatsApp about happenings with the property, but aside from the fact that you're being transparent, you're also building up the credibility. They say, you know, this guy's on top of his game and he keeps me updated with every last little thing.
Of course, absolutely. That's honesty's the best policy, as they say. So yeah, that's just the part of it. I just hope they appreciate it, which I think they do, and hence why they've invested so much, thankfully. But that's the name of the game. Just honesty will ultimately bring the blessings.
And especially in your case, when people are investing money in AsCorp, they're investing money in you, your credibility has to be impeccable, because they're trusting you with their money.
That's right. This is hard people's earned work, whether it's an inheritance, whether it's from their salaries that they've built up and it's their retirement fund or whatever it may be, it's irregardless, it's their money. And if it's the most valuable thing, more valuable than clothes, more valuable than cars, whatever it may be, you go buy money, you go buy cars with money, but money's the most valuable thing in the world. And if I have to protect it, I got to mitigate the risk and underwrite properly. And it's all lying on my hands. I have a lot of faith in God. I leave big role to him being a part of it, but ultimately it's in my hands and I got to do my part and every due diligence and being conservative, especially in the market that we're in today. And that's the name of the game.
Alan, before we let you go.
Sure.
And you've shared many, many tips, but still, I'm going to ask if you could perhaps share, what's a strategy that you have felt that you hold on to kind of day in and day out? Perhaps it's something from a lesson you learned earlier in life that you feel that, you know, this is something that really makes it happen, and I want to share this with the listeners of 710 WR. Be mindful of this as you pursue your life's journey?
Sure, is by being passionate, by having that element of being positive. It just will flow to the other people. If I'm going to be negative, my environment around me is going to be negative. So it's having self-motivation. It's having honesty. It's all intertwined. It's all one thing, like you said earlier. Self-motivation, honesty, and just there's really no shortcuts in life. So that's what it comes down to. And it's being self-motivated, honesty, and being completely, completely passionate, whether it's real estate, whether the person's in the insurance industry, the environment around you, it rubs off on them, and vice versa. So whether you like it or not, if you're going to be negative or, and again, we have those days that are negative and that are bad, but you have to look at the good side in life and be grateful for what we have.
Alan Azule. Alan, how could people find out more information about your services, to invest, if to hire you as a consultant? How to get them?
Sure. It's on my website, www.azcorpproperties.com, azcorpproperties.com.
This wraps up an incredible edition of Mind Your Business. A special thank you, Ayoshikoyach, Achazak Baruch, to Alan Yehuda Azule for an incredible show. In case you tuned in late, where were you? Oh man, did you miss a great show. But by Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up on all the popular podcasting channels. And again, as mentioned, in approximately 3 weeks, the entire YouTube episode will go up. In short, it's going to start climbing to 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 views over the weeks that when it gets posted, because that's how these shows go, especially when it shares such great content. Well, this wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the Voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.